You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is the podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives. Hello, hello, everybody. It is Madigan. Unfortunately, we don't have Keegan with us this week. We've been missing you so much over the last few weeks when we haven't been giving you new episodes, but we have something extra special for you today, and that is my dear friend and fellow podcaster, Miss Lauren Ogle.
Hello!
Hi! And Lauren is extra special to me because not only did we do our first live shows together, like probably, yes, what, 3 years ago now, yeah. I also take care of her son quite often.
She so does. You are the nanny extraordinaire.
I'm the nanny extraordinaire, is that, at least that's what they say. I don't know. I think I'm just a grown-up child myself. But so I, when Keegan was still going to be out of town, the first thing I thought of for Mother's Day was that I've got to get Lauren on the show. And a little bit of background, we were going to do a mini episode together when Keegan was out of town, like probably about a year ago. And there was just technical difficulties and things didn't work out. And I was so bummed because I've been, well, let me just say, first of all, Lauren is with the show Keep It Weird. And if you haven't listened to it, what are you doing with your life? I was on the show years ago with Ashley, the co-host, and I really didn't even know you very well, Lauren, at that point. And we'd never recorded together or anything. And so it's nice to finally like do what we do together.
I agree. It is kind of funny thinking we've never actually recorded together. Like we've always just kept missing each other, but been in this, you know, similar community where we know all the same podcasters and we've kind of crossed over and been on each other's shows. And now it's like, oh, it's finally us. We're doing it.
It's finally the two of us. And, you know, when you started talking, I just remembered I was actually on Keep It Weird because you were either about to give birth to Wilder or it was like just after giving birth to Wilder.
Oh, yeah. There was,
and
like,
that's why they needed like extra like guests all the time. And it was Ashley and Joe is her boyfriend's name, right? I'm totally blanking.
Right. Handsome Joe, as the our listeners call him, which is hilarious.
Yes. I'm pretty sure that's what I called him the entire time. Oh, yeah. He is very handsome and incredibly smart.
Oh, like so smart that it hurts. You start speaking and me and Ashley sometimes have to grab our heads like, okay, wait, you might have to go a little slower. Start again.
I kind of love it. I loved just sitting back and listen. It was like listening. It was like listening to a podcast, not being on a guest of a show. you feel very out of it. You're like, just teach me things and let me take in all of this. We talked about time travel. So that was real science-y, real spacey.
And
a very good time. But enough about my experience on your show. I want you to tell everybody a little bit about who you are as like a podcaster. What's your show? Tell us a little bit more about like the business side of it before we get into the personal side of things.
Yeah. I'm Lauren. I co-host Keep It Weird podcast with Ashley Cassidy. It is kind of exactly what the title says. We just keep it real weird. We started it together 6 years ago now, which sounds insane. Yeah, and she just recently...
6 years?
6 years. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. We're like a little over four. That's wild.
It's insanity. And Ashley just recently moved to Illinois. She moved out of Los Angeles and broke my heart forever because she was one of my very first friends out here like almost 13 years ago. But we still are recording the show remotely. We're, you know, getting into our newest season. I think we're like five episodes in now. It's been really fun. But we cover everything that is just strange, bizarre, unsolved, mysterious, unexplained.
Yeah.
And we dig deep into it and try to bring you both science and kind of more of the woo-woo side of things. Like, we'll get a little spooky, get spiritual, but we cover the
science. Well, I was going to say, like, your co-host Ashley is like, she's a witch. Like, that's just,
oh, yeah.
When I think of her, I think of witches and spells.
1,000%.
And like, her apartment is like a museum of horror in a way. Like, she's just the most unique and eclectic person. And so that's one of the things that I love about your show, though, is that like, I'm such a big fan of like true crime and scary things and unsolved mysteries. But you tend to get a lot of the same stories over and over again, just through different perspectives. And what I like about coming and checking out Keep It Weird is that I'm not going to be getting the same things I've heard a million times.
Right.
I'm going to be getting like topics that I never would have thought that I would be interested in. But because I love you guys and I love the show, I'm going to click on the episode and then I'm like, holy shit, what was that? It's kind of like totally not run of the mill. And that's what I love about it. It doesn't try to keep up with any sort of other genre. You just kind of like do your own thing. I love that you always have so many like co-hosts and other people that come on and share, you know, their expertise or their perspectives.
Right.
Which is why I said in the beginning, if you haven't listened, like, what are you doing with your life?
Well, that was so kind. And honestly, you gave the best hype up that we could ever hope for, because that is exactly what we wanted to do with our show. And when we started it 6 years ago, if you think about what was happening 6 years ago, that is when podcasts had the boom of like true crime obsession.
Yeah.
So
Serial
it was like,
came out like what, like 7 years ago or something?
Yeah.
Like
and
that?
My Favorite Murder came out like around that time. It was like, that was when the boom happened. So originally our idea was we were going to be two girls that told ghost stories and did true crime. Oh, I'm sorry. Everyone is doing that. So we very quickly changed it up, and we're so thankful that we just did the title Keep It Weird instead of like two girls that like knives. Like, we're just happy.
Yeah, exactly.
We kept it more open because then it helped us to say, okay, well, let's kind of switch gears and talk about all things mysterious and cool. And yeah, like Madigan said, Ashley is basically just a witch and is one of the coolest people ever. I've always been more of the crime junkie, mystery, horror movie junkie, but we combined together to make this podcast. I think it is such a fun
it's
and
the
informative show. We're a good balance. I'm kind of like the Dumbo who says ridiculous things. Ashley's really intelligent and cool, but we balance each other out.
I always feel like I'm the dummy compared to Keegan. She's so articulate and says things so well, and I feel like I always get very overpowered by my emotions.
Me too.
And what I mean to say doesn't always come out as like eloquently as I want it to, where she's so good. Like, whenever I like I'm having an argument with someone else or whatever, and I text her my problems, she'll like message me back my own feelings, but in a more concise way, where I'm like, oh, this is what I'm going to say to this person because it sounds smarter than what I would have said to them.
1,000%. I think we're the same person in our podcast relationship. It's like, I'm just always amazed at how Ashley pieces things together. I'm like, yes, that's what I was trying to say, but I just started screaming and crying instead.
Oh my God. Thank goodness that our listeners and our co-hosts keep up with us, right?
I know. Gosh.
So much. Well, like I said in the beginning, I really wanted to have Lauren on this week's episode to talk about motherhood. I have worked for so many moms. I know a lot of moms, but I'm not like close friends with a lot of moms. I'm just starting to get into the era of my life where all my friends are having kids and things like that. So I'm still fairly new into having like friendships with moms and not just like fellow nannies and things like that.
Yeah.
And especially how cool you are. I was so like, not to like, that sounds so lame of me to even say like, you're a cool mom. But I feel like you would be able to give me a perspective that isn't coming from like someone I work for or,
sure.
you know, my own mother or things like that. Have you be a young, hip, cool, happening mama that can fill all of us in. And I told you, most of our listeners are like Gen Z, very young. And probably
much
you know,
cooler well, than me for sure.
But. Oh my gosh. They're all, they teach us so much. My gosh. It's amazing. But yeah. Probably not something that a lot of our listeners have had experience in. So I feel yeah. like you're going to be a very great wealth of knowledge for everybody, especially for me as someone who considers themselves to be feminist as hell, but has also known since they came out of their mother's womb that they wanted to have kids.
Gosh, I love that. Just because I know, not that that has to be everyone's journey, of course not, but for right. you, just because I see how you are with my child, again,
well, you know
Madigan
me.
Is like Wilder's best friend in the entire world. Wilder's my son. And I could not be more grateful for you. So I'm like, please have a child. You'd be an incredible mother.
But. I know. It's just one of those weird things with me that I've always just had like a, and like I said, I think it's because I've refused to grow up inside. Like I still love doing all the things that kids love. And
yes,
I feel like
child
I just,
at
like,
heart.
Right. Totally. Like it's your choice to grow up. You know,
right.
we can't choose to grow old. But, you know, I've talked a lot on this show about my mom. My mom is like my primary parent. She's my only parent now. She's my biggest role model. And I really wanted to know what your role models of motherhood were growing up. You're also a Midwesterner. Both Keegan and I are from the Midwest. And
oh,
I feel
yeah.
like there's a lot of like tropes that Keegan and I can both relate to when we talk about our upbringing and things like that. But I'm mm-hmm. curious for you, like with your mom and you know, friends, moms, what were your perceptions of like what motherhood meant to you when you were young?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of saw every type of mom. It felt like it was all over the spectrum. But I have to say, I am incredibly lucky because I had an amazing mama. I know you do too, which makes me very happy that we both did because I had so many friends and other family members around me whose moms were just not present in their life or just they treated them more like a friend and weren't necessarily yeah. a mom, which isn't a bad thing. Like, it's great to call your mom your best friend, but also
but there's like a balance.
Yes. I've yeah. talked to them now as adults saying like, oh, it was fun when I was younger and in high school, but now as an adult, I'm looking back and seeing that some things were inappropriate and that I
totally.
Needed a mom in those moments. So
uh-huh.
I see what's happening around me, and especially on my mom's side of the family, there is a lot of dysfunction. I mean, I kind of hate that word because I don't know, but they're...
But it's like, what else do you use?
Yeah, I can't. It's just dysfunction. That's all I
can
call it.
But. Some abnormalities, some
yes.
differences.
So to see my mom come out the other side and be such a wonderful mom was always amazing to me. Like, she
kind of
was
breaking the wheel a little bit.
Yes.
Starting over. Yeah.
I do think that is why she was so incredible, is because she is the youngest of five girls and she is like 16 years apart from her oldest sister. There's pretty
wow.
big gaps between all of them. And the reason
oh
that
gosh.
They kept having kids was because my grandma and grandpa wanted to have a boy so badly. And she was the fifth and final girl. And because
they were like,
of
we
that,
can't do this anymore.
Yeah, they were like, okay, first of all, we got to stop. This is absurd.
Yeah.
But also, I think my mom, because of that, says she felt a little bit of resentment coming from her parents in certain areas. She's only told me this just as an adult now. She started to
of course,
confide
yeah.
this in me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I never would have guessed. But she didn't right. always feel the lovey-dovey hugs from her parents. She felt a little bit of disappointment and like she kind of got the shaft in certain situations.
Well, and the first thing that I think of when you mentioned that, you said 16 years apart.
Yeah.
Well, one, it's amazing to me that your mom would have that just natural maternal instinct being not only just the youngest, but the youngest by that far.
Oh, yeah.
I used to really, really want to be a child psychologist, and I have a real obsession with like birth order because it's like the same. It gets proved over and over and over again in my life. And they're like, I don't mean that every, you know, I'm an only child. I'm not meaning to say every only child is the same or youngest or oldest or things like that.
But there are a lot of things that work out. Like lots of theories come true.
There is. And I think that especially being like the baby, I think typically your mom would have been set up to being like very coddled, having a lot of people caring for her instead of just her parents, like, and not having to be as self-sufficient. Like typically the youngest is not the one that is the most independent and self-sufficient. They're the ones that rely more on, you know, other people to just not necessarily do things for them, but to like help guide them and support them and things like that as they get older. So it's interesting that your mom kind of like,
she
was completely the opposite of that. And it sounds like because of her knowledge, I mean, it's completely kind of off topic, but I had grown up kind of knowing that my dad wasn't so sure about wanting kids. And you, when you know that about your parent or things like that, even if like they tell you they love you all the time and they're showing up to, you know, school plays or things like that, there's still that kind of like
there's something missing. You're like, I know how you really feel, and like you're forced to be here,
or you doubt it even if they're telling you they do or they change their mind or things
questioning.
Like as soon as you hear or feel that thing from your parent, you're immediately just kind of like, but wait, like, do I trust everything you're saying to me now? So I think that's amazing that your mom was able to really kind of break that cycle and to not have the same examples of like siblings. You know, her siblings were in high school when she was born.
Which they were amazing to her.
She probably had a very different experience. That's so good.
I was going to say, I mean, it's never that she felt unloved, because I feel like the sisters, if anything, like really jumped in and were so excited, you know, being a high schooler. Well, they're like, we have a new baby like in the family.
Yeah,
this
we
is
can
so
like play dress up. And I think you can understand that there's resentment and still feel the love and
absolutely
the joy. Like, I think that, like, those things, like, it doesn't negate the other.
Of course.
Know?
She was never a neglected child. That's exactly right. It's like she still felt loved, but she, she could always sense that it was like, oh, they wanted me to be a boy,
a boy.
I wasn't. And she just, and her mom, I think it was very unintentional, because my grandma is a very kind, wonderful woman, but just every once in a while would make kind of offhanded remarks about my mom. That just, again, I don't, it was never malicious, but just like kind of little jabs at her all throughout her life. So I think my mom absolutely wanted to turn in the other direction and be a completely different mom and love her children the way she always wanted to. And I think my siblings and I are so incredibly lucky, because she is an amazing woman. And it's not even just the way she mothers, because I feel like some people are just amazing mothers, and that is what they devote their life to. Like, that is their heart, and it's just being a mom and being so involved in their kids' lives. But what I think makes my mom even cooler is that she was also a hippie, not even just like, oh, I'm in the sense of fashion. Like, she was going to war protests every weekend.
Oh, my
like,
gosh. Why aren't our parents friends? Okay.
Is this your mom, too?
My mom graduated high school in 1969.
Oh,
my dad. My dad actually he got drafted, I believe, but when they went in and tested him, you know, I have hearing loss. My dad's hearing loss is worse than mine. It's just hereditary. So he wasn't able to fight because of that. And that really pissed him off and angered him. So he started getting involved in protests in Minneapolis and things like that. So when I would ever talk about my parents politically growing up, I would always say I was raised by two liberal hippies, because they looked legit like Sonny and Cher when they got married in 1972.
I'm obsessed with that.
I'm going to send you pictures. You're
going
to love it. But they both just had that very, like, all love, no hate.
Yep.
We hate war.
Stick
you know,
it to the man.
Exactly. Like, do the thing that's unconventional.
Exactly.
They were... Yeah, fine that I sucked at math. You're going to be an artist, you know?
Yes.
Which I'm like, damn it, you should have been harder on me because I suck at math.
I needed to be better in school, but I get it.
No, like my mom and I mean my dad too, but my mom is such, she refers to herself as a fucking goddess. Like she is the most
get it.
hippie loving. Our moms are going to be best friends.
I think they absolutely would. They sound like the same person, because that is Jane, my sweet mom. And she.
I was just going to ask what your mom's name was. Jane. I love that her name is Jane. Jane. Jane and Liz will be besties.
Jane and Liz. Those are also just the most mom names.
Aren't they? By the way, my mom is going to be in town in June, and she's definitely going to want to meet Wilder.
Oh my gosh.
In between the days that I'm traveling. Just
yes, please.
You.
No, she's please let it happen. I would love to meet your mother, but also she needs to meet the sweetie pie that is Wilder.
we'll party, we'll have a little bit of wine, we'll play with Wilder. It's
love it so much.
Okay, back on track. Well, yes. So you were telling me that your mom is this lovable hippie. She would stick it to the man. She was doing her protest. What were some of those things that you kind of like witnessed as a kid, or what perception of your mom then did you have?
I just thought she was the coolest person in the world, like truly, mm-hmm. because obviously she was doing a lot of the protesting before I was even born. You know, we're talking
right.
about
by the time you're, but you're not that old.
Yeah, I'm not that old yet.
You're not an old mom.
All
yeah,
the Gen
no, no, no.
Z people are like, who is this girl? No, I was
well,
born.
You've got to be, I'm going to guess, you've got to be like, what, 35, 36?
Oh, you think I'm older than I am. I'm
no,
only...
No, I didn't mean...
I'm only 32.
Okay, I'm cutting that. I only said that because... Because
I have only... a child.
Because you have a kid.
Oh, I need to get Botox. Lord. No, I'm just kidding.
No,
it's
you
totally
look...
fine.
Girl, you look like you're 20. No, honestly, you do look like you'd be younger than that. It was because you were a kid. And I feel like I often guess down, and that almost makes people more angry.
Oh, no, totally. It's like you kind of can't win once you're in your 30s. Because if somebody says 20s, you're like, oh, you just think I'm an immature idiot. And then if you go up too high, it's like, so you think I'm almost 40? Like, you just can't win. But
Lauren, people think I'm between 19 and 21.
You do have a youthful face. You absolutely
I have a youthful
do.
Face. I have a youthful voice. I'm teeny tiny. I'm pocket sized.
You are. I could fit you in my pocket.
It's awful. I want people to take me seriously, damn
it. I know. I know. Okay, but no, we can get back on track.
So Lauren's not ancient. She wasn't actually seeing her mother protest the Vietnam War. But
no, but what?
That kind of energy doesn't leave you.
It doesn't. And I did get to witness her protesting, because when Bush was president, she was also protesting when the war was starting.
That was a big one.
Yeah,
like... big one for my parents. Yeah.
After 9/11, she started going out. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of when I first started to learn. Like, I mean, I was still so young in 2001, but I'm like, I was old enough to remember her going to protest, like making signs in our basement to go to the picket line. And just that was the first time I was like, my mom is so cool. Like, she is fighting. She's out there fighting for the voiceless, you know, like fighting.
Yeah.
She just became an
activist. And
she's
not just talking about it. She's not. I mean, for me, I got a whole stocking stuffer full of like National Embarrassed mints with George Bush's face on it, a George Bush like stress ball. My parents were very vocal about it, but I never saw them like actively doing that kind of stuff. And I think that instinctively that sets you up for such a great open-minded way of life.
Yes.
Bravo, like, Jane.
Yeah, I saw that right from the beginning and thought, like, oh, that's incredible. And then on top of it, she was also an artist and so creative. So she was also the mom that, like, knew how to set up a really creative game or a really creative craft station. And so always felt, like, so doted on and taken care of. And she's just a badass woman and mama and an amazing grandmother, too. Like, just amazing.
Oh, I'm sure. So. What does Wilder call her again? Because I know I've heard her.
Gaga.
Gaga. Yes, I know I've heard him talk about Gaga.
She's Gaga.
I love it. I'm calling her Lady Gaga from
now
on.
Oh my gosh, you should. And Wilder and Lady Gaga share a birthday, so it just always feels like they're entwined in some special way.
They are. And you have siblings, right?
Yes, I have a brother and a sister, and my brother has 5 children.
Oh my gosh.
And my sister just has 1, and she's a one and done, which I like love that she's just like, nope, if you ask me about a second kid, I'm going to slap you across the face. Kind of attitude,
that's funny.
Like,
honestly,
just one and done.
Yeah, I would do one, maybe. Maybe 2. You know, I kind of feel the same way.
Hey,
Who was it that I met? Was that your sister or was that like a cousin?
It was my sister. I always forget you met her briefly when you were watching Wilder. Yes, it was her and her husband were in town. And I think she even said that, like, oh, yeah, we have a daughter, Josie. Like, that's it. Only one. Like, she likes to make it known.
you've got the pictures on the fridge. Wilder talks about the girl all the time. Okay, I know exactly who you're talking about. Well, my next question I feel like is kind of obvious with, at least to me, with what you just said, but how is like your experience with motherhood, how does it differ and how is it the same as your mom? Like the perception that your mom had, do you feel like you're kind of being very similar or how do you feel that you're different?
I mean, I'm aiming to. I do feel like the open-mindedness, the activism, I definitely think I've taken that on. And even, it's so interesting that you mentioned the birth order before because I am also the youngest. And granted, I'm the youngest of three. She's the youngest of five. And they were different dynamics. But I am the one that also, just like my mom, left town, left the cozy neighborhood. We're both from super small towns that our families are all still in. We left town. Got a little more liberal, a little more progressive, much to the disdain of members of our family. And it's like, we're the ones that kind of busted out. And I'm not saying that we're, better than anyone anyway. This is our own journey. And I still love my family back in Illinois to death. But it was like, we both needed more.
You just took a different route in the fork in the road a little bit.
Yes.
There. Doesn't mean that one's right or wrong. You just
totally.
Kind of went another way.
I just want to make that clear because I never want to sound like superior. I'm like, love my family, but I just like, I had to bust out, and I know that my mom feels that, and I think I try to have the same open-mindedness as my mom. I want to be an activist. I want to show Wilder how to be an activist, and I think in those ways, I absolutely am following my mom's journey as a mom and setting the example and, going out and, bringing him to protest with me as my mom did with us, but I am different in the way that I am so not crafty or creative when it comes to gameplay or making any kind of craft station. I can barely hold scissors or use glue. So
I'm gonna negate you on that because something else that Lauren does for a living is that she does music classes for children.
Yes. Okay.
And I would have to say, so if you can't set up a mean finger painting station or things like that, you know how to get out some percussion instruments for kids.
True.
Or like,
I'm an artist in a different way.
Exactly. I think that's a very specific skill set. Like my parents, my mom was a jewelry designer. My dad originally wanted to be a fine artist, but got into advertising. But he's the most amazing drawer that I've ever seen in my life, in real life. And he would give me little drawing lessons. He taught me how to play guitar. My mom would teach me how to make earrings and bracelets. And to me, that's kind of, that's my wheelhouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's where I'm crafty. And for you, you've got your own amazing ability, not only to be musical. Lauren has an amazing singing voice, by the way.
Okay.
You do.
You're being so nice to me this episode.
No, but I mean it. I watched a video of you singing karaoke on Instagram a couple weeks ago. And you had all those fans in the audience. You sounded amazing. I'm not kidding you.
I will say, if this audience is mostly Gen Z, I have to give all y'all props because it was a very Gen Z night at the karaoke bar. And I was actually terrified to get up because I was like, oh, the old lady is about to get up and sing an older song.
So
and they were so
cool.
Kind.
You're so cool. Max, actually, when he was on tour, did a party for a frat house. And they're all, Max is one of the youngest at 32. And
he's also 32.
He's also 32. Keegan's 32. I have a lot of 89 and 90 people.
Yes, 89.
Yeah. And so one of their drummer is younger, but they were all much older than college age, right? And they're at this very young party for frat boys or whatever. And Max was like, that was the best audience I've ever played to. They were so turn. It was Halloween. It was
they know how to
crazy.
Get down and they know how to support and rally. And it was I can't believe I ever doubted. I think I just thought I'm going to be singing an old song and I look old. I was just getting in my head
because
they all looked
the
so
old
young
stuff
and hip.
Is cool. Because the
that
old
is
stuff
true.
Is cool. I know that more than ever now working at the store, at the clothing store that I work at.
You probably see that a lot.
Oh my gosh. Everyone is buying mom, you know that SNL sketch, the mom jeans from JCPenney with the vest?
Yes. That's what everyone's wearing.
That is bought within seconds.
Yep.
That stuff is gone. That's what's cool. And so I think just having those connections, TikTok now, there's all these old songs that are coming back. It's crazy.
I know. And kind of comical when people bring them up and say, like, did you know about this song or this movie? And I'm like, yes, that's what I was raised on.
I know. I was asked when I first was hired at this job if I understood Y2K fashion. I said, honey, I was 10 in 2002. I lived it.
That's right.
We got this. We're
fine. Got the butterfly clips, baby.
Baby. Okay, so what was the hardest misconception about motherhood that you tried to fight against? I ask that especially being a mom in LA and being from another place. I feel like I get a lot of pressure, even from my mom sometimes, but especially from other family members, to kind of like live a more conventional life or be a conventional mom or to have my life kind of go in a certain way. And I know especially as women in life, we are expected to be moms.
Oh,
and
yes.
Obviously, we wanted to be moms. That was our choice and things like that. But I know that there are still so many misconceptions that are pushed upon those who want to be moms or who don't want to be moms. What were some things that you had to kind of fight against during your pregnancy or when you've been raising Wilder?
Well, first of all, what I love is, like, yes, there were those pressures absolutely coming from the Midwest family because they all, it was like we settled down, we had kids, that's what we do, blah, blah, blah. And living in LA, as you've seen, people start a lot later and are a lot more free about it. And some people don't want kids. It's just a different conversation. So I felt some pressures back from the Midwest, but I truly, truly have always wanted to be a mom, and it was my personal choice, so the pressure never got to me. Alex and I waited longer than most people would have liked. To the Midwest crowd, it was much later, but then what's hilarious is to all of our LA friends, it was crazy early, and we were the first of our friends to have kids. Like, nobody really has kids.
You would have been, 28 when you had Wilder.
30. Because
he just
turned three, and I turned 33 in a month. Yeah, I know. It's like, it's confusing because of the threes and the twos. But yeah, I got pregnant at 29, had him at 30.
Oh, my. Yeah, you were a baby.
I know. And honestly, I never thought it would be that young. I will say that was the part that surprised me. Even meeting Alex, my husband, happened way younger. I always thought, I will be in my 30s when I settle down. Right. It's going to be, career and me. And that's
but
wonderful.
Life.
But
Life throws things at you.
He shocked me. I met him and I was like, oh, you're the one? Let's go. All right.
Here he is lovely. He is so lovely.
Thank you. I really do like him a lot.
Oh, I'm glad. No, that's important. I think I always say this to Max. I say, I love a lot of people. It's easy to love people and have that almost feeling of unconditional love. It's
but do you
a
like
whole
them?
Other thing to like them.
Exactly.
So really like who they are as a person, I think, is completely different. And it's funny because Alex and Max remind me of each other a lot because they're both very quiet.
Yes.
But there's been a few times now where Alex will come home before you will and we'll get to chat a little bit. And he's starting to be more chatty with me and stuff.
I love that because it does take time. But he gets
But that's
chatty.
How Max is. Too. He just has a little bit of that initial social I gotta figure out where I fit with this person
totally.
And what we're gonna talk
Which
about
I get.
And stuff. But no, I just I love that. I think that both of us are definitely the extroverts in our relationships. Oh,
1,000%. And I feel like we need to get our guys together because they
we
would
need
get
to
along.
Double date yes. like so fast. We'll come over and hang out. He needs to meet Wilder.
Yes,
too,
also that.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
What were some pressures, when you had him? Like, did you feel like there was, and just, like, certain things that people wanted you to do in raising him? Or, like, did you keep the name from people or the gender from people and really wanted to know? Or, you know, what were some of those differences for you?
We kept the name secret because we knew that our families, mine being from Illinois and his are from Pennsylvania, would have opinions. And we waited a really long time. We didn't tell any friends even out here either. We eventually told both of our families right around the holidays, just a couple months before he was born, just thinking like, okay, this could be a fun little thing, like right around Christmas. And so we told them. My family actually had a pretty good reaction, even if they were just being polite. Alex's family was mostly nice, but both of his parents had trouble with the name Wilder. They were like, really?
Really?
Like, Wilder, huh? I'm gonna really have to like stew with that. Like, they had to take their time. So that wasn't great.
We kind of knew
it would be that way. It's why we waited, but it was not fun to hear that.
That's the thing with a unique name. I actually, a coworker of mine has a daughter named Wilder.
I love it for a girl, too. That's the thing. I think I would have gone either way. Like, it would not have changed as my favorite name with
whatever. Well, I have the hardest time with liking boy names, so there might be a Wilder Ram out there one day. You never know. I might have to steal it.
It is. It's a good name. I mean, I'm proud of it, and I'm thankful that I didn't let other people's opinions get to me. It made me sad that they had to feel that way, but I was so confident in it that I just said whatever. And my family is pretty good about being hands-off. My in-laws definitely have had their opinions and like to micromanage a tad more with the raising of our child. But overall, I think living out here in LA, we have enough distance that I can still do whatever I want. But it's the mom shaming that exists in the world. Like that, I will say, is one of the hardest parts of being a mom, is just all of the opinions, the outside perspectives.
I didn't even think about that from, like, not just the family, but, like, social media at large.
Yes, I was going to say, it's because of social media. They can all see what you're doing at all times, and they judge you, and it's wild out there.
It's
wild
crazy West. Because literally not what... Probably even when around the time we were born, moms were still putting scotch on their pinkies and sticking it in their baby's mouths for, you know, teething. You know what I mean? Like,
and to help them, like, rest.
Right? You know, and, like, or moms didn't know not to, you know, drink too much when they were pregnant or, you know,
totally,
different
or
things
smoke
like
cigarettes.
That.
Yeah.
Or smoke cigarettes. There's all these things that have, like, been learned so quickly. And I feel like there's just this, like... There's this weirdly competitive nature between parents, which is something that I really witnessed as a skater growing up. I witnessed that a lot with the moms being competitive with each other, with their children in the sport and things like that. I just can't I can't wrap my head around it not being in that world, why you would want to tear down another person who's going through the same ups and downs that you are all the time.
You know that it's a challenge. I look at other moms and I only feel empathy of like, I know what you're going through. I see the screaming toddler in the store and I just want to hug the mom and say, I understand my kid did that 5 seconds ago. Like we're in this together. I don't know why we can't all be on the same team, but instead it has to be like, why'd you do that?
Or you want to jump in and like, you want to jump in and like distract the baby and like help the mom like every time
give them
like
a break.
My friends, when they hear a baby crying, they're it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. It's like my uterus starts swelling and my heart is crying and I just want to hold that baby until it stops crying. There is this weird kind of like understanding when you get kids where you should feel that empathy for another person. I can't believe I'm even telling the story on the show. I'd never wanted to talk about it again. Yesterday at work, there was a 2-month-old baby, and everyone's like, Madigan, you got to see this baby. It's the cutest baby ever. They know how much I love babies. The mom and the baby come over to try things on, and the mom has stuff kind of like draped over the handlebar of the stroller. Mm-hmm. And I have to count everything because people steal shit.
Of course.
So I'm like counting the hangers and I'm like going to grab the stuff. And as I'm grabbing it, the weight distribution like switches and this stroller goes like it capsizes forward.
Oh no.
Thank God this baby was strapped in. Because that stroller went straight up. I screamed. That child's life flashed before my eyes. It's a cement floor.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, man. I'm, like, grabbing my face right now.
I'm grabbing it now, and my whole face is hot. My friends have been making fun of me about it all day. And I'm seriously like, you guys, I'm going to start crying. I can't do this.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry you went through that because, like, that is that truly is an honest mistake. I'm not sitting here judging you. I'm more just like, the fear that would have run through my body. And you just know that mom was like, ugh.
The mom said to me, that happens all the time. It's heavier on this side.
Oh, well, she don't care.
She felt worse that I was, like, crying. Like, I seriously was so upset that I possibly would have hurt. That's why I'm like, my friends think it's funny. I'm like, no, you seriously can't. Like, I felt so many things in that moment. Like, I would not have been able to go on with life if I had hurt that child. There's no way.
Sure.
So I'm like,
I would have been the same as you. I would have just started bawling and like being over the top apologizing to that woman. And I love that she was just like, oh, yeah, that happened.
Oh, it must not have been her first kid. The baby literally barely made a coo and fell back to sleep.
Yep. That's the stuff.
Baby did not care. But it's that thing where you have to have that empathy. It's like when you see celebrities with the baby slipping out of the arm a little bit, or they're maybe not putting it in the car seat the right way or whatever. It's like, if you've ever had a child, you should know how hard it is to get anything done because that kid is going to fight you for everything.
Exactly. It's like, do you know what I went through to even get them in this position? Like, you can't come over and judge the position I have them in. But I mean,
no.
And all that is to say, yes, there are going to be the mom shamers and the judgmental people that exists everywhere anyway about everything now that they're social media. We all get to have an opinion. But what I did want to also say is that, like, that you had asked earlier about misconceptions and, you know, things that people assume about motherhood. I do want it to be said that not everyone is that way. And I am one of those moms. And now that my friends are finally starting to have kids after we were alone in it for so long, they also have just been the coolest, like coolest shit moms, where we're just like, oh yeah, your kid does that, mine does too. Doesn't it suck?
Yeah.
And we just get to vent and like, I mean, we love our children, but we kind of like talk shit. Yeah, we talk shit
kids
about our kids. We're like, oh
you
God,
have to
what an asshole over there, you know?
You have to. Like, that's human, and your child is also human, and you're allowed to feel those, like, very strong feelings, even though they came from you.
Exactly. Like,
you know
I
what
love
I mean?
Him.
Like,
I will take a bullet for him. I like,
of course.
He is my everything, but I'm going to call him a dick whenever I want because he misbehaves a whole
lot.
And you have to find your community
of moms.
Not
to his face, but you're going to find your friends. You're going to drink some wine and be like, holy shit.
Yes.
Well, and I'm hoping that that's kind of what we can get out of this whole mom shaming fad on social media is like, I hope that by seeing so much of how negative it is, mm-hmm. we start to realize it in ourselves and not do it as much. Like, I think that's all you can really ask when something's being pointed out, that at least now that we're putting a spotlight on that topic, people mm-hmm. can be more self-aware of when they're judging someone else for
that. I love that it's being brought up more. It's being brought to the forefront. I see posts all the time of like, hey, instead of judging another mom, let's do this, this, and this with all these, you know, tips and bullet points. I'm like, thank you. This is what we need to see. And it's all about just finding your community of people that get it. Like, find your girls, find your moms who just get it and are willing to talk shit and drink wine with you. And like, they absolutely mm-hmm. exist. I am one of those moms. I felt lucky that Wilder's preschool that we go to, all of those moms are very similar too. And we have started getting together and talking shit about our kids. And it's magnificent.
Well, and I think it's important, like, with anything in life, like, community is so important, and it's who you surround yourself with. And I think that, like, if you're, you know, trying to put your kid into a mold that you don't necessarily feel comfortable with, like, if he was in a school of parents that weren't like-minded as mm-hmm. you are, you know what I mean? Or things like that, I think that that would create a different atmosphere for you as well.
Oh, yeah.
By setting your kid up to be around like-minded people as you, you're also allowing those people to be in your life as well. And I think that it's really about like setting boundaries, just like anything too, where if there's that one mom in the group, you know, mm-hmm. or something like that, it's like, we're not going to tolerate that behavior.
We're not going to
be supportive of each other. Exactly. Oh,
yeah. If he went to any kind of school where I didn't feel, you know, safe to express my opinion, or, you know, felt constantly judged, or like Wilder wasn't hitting certain points the way he's supposed to, you know, anything right. like that, I think we would pull him out immediately, because I am just so at the point after becoming a mom of, I am going to find my peace, find my happiness, put my son in the most loving, non-judgmental environment. Like,
of course,
I am only going to put him in those good situations.
Yeah, I mean, what you said just reminds me, I always tell people that the reason I want to be a mom is because I want to make a person better than I was.
Yes. Gosh, that is the goal, truly. Like, please, like, be the future. Like, lead your generation into a better world. Be a better person. Be more loving. Be more outgoing. Yes, 1,000%.
And it ties into the same thing with, you know, witnessing so many different kinds of moms as you're in your childhood and things like that, and knowing what type of mom you want to be, and knowing that, like, just because your mom or your mom's mom did things one way, that doesn't mean that you have to do things in the exact same way.
Change things up.
Exactly. But I think that people feel such like obligation to tradition, or to, you know, their blood, to obey by, you know, how things have always been. And I think that it's really important to hear more and more people talk about, you know, not only wanting to raise their kid to be, you know, just like them, or, you know, anything like that, or have them be in the sports they want, or in the, you know, whatever. Of course, that's going to happen either way. But but to really think like, I'm doing this because I want to make sure that this kid is better than I am now.
Yes.
You know,
totally.
I want my kid to be more progressive than me. I want my kid to be more loving than me. I want, you know, all of those things.
Right.
And I think when you can focus on that too, you stop worrying about what other parents are doing and what society is expecting of you.
Absolutely.
As well. Do you kind of feel that way?
Yes. Like, that is how you break through, is when you get to that point. And also, I think, again, going along the lines of misconceptions about motherhood, is that your life has to be only motherhood and, you know, focusing on just doing everything right and being perfect and making sure your child is going to be a genius by the age of 4. Like, also remember to live your life and still have that healthy social life that kind of goes along with, you know, finding your moms and drinking wine after hours when the kids are asleep. Because I feel like I know a lot of women who they became moms and it was just like, that's it. I am mom. I am going to only mommy groups, only to this and this. And Alex and I both have like fought tooth and nail to keep our social life, keep our friend group. I mean, Madigan, the reason she comes over to be with Wilder is because we're like, we're going to a concert. We're going to a party.
I'm like, please have more of a social life so I can live at your house. The sleepover with Wilder was the best night of my life.
Yes, they had a sleepover because we had like a bougie Hollywood night, because we were like, why not?
We did.
Let's go to a hotel.
I Loved it. And I'm here for it. Have as many nights out as you need. I'm always here for it. Well, and we kind of like started talking about something I was going to ask later, but I think that since you brought it up, it's a really good time to talk about it now. Yes. How have you been able to keep your identity? Like, how have you stayed being Lauren, even with having the mom title?
Oh gosh. Yeah. I won't lie. It's a challenge because again, you think that people are expecting you to be a certain way. And that's, mm-hmm. I think I'm feeling things due to my insecurity of, oh, I have to just act like this and be poised and perfect all the time. But no, Alex and I, again, decided very early, let's have a child who enriches our lives and we will show them the best, most magical, wonderful life. But let's also still be who we are. Let's keep doing our things. Let's pursue our passions. Let's be us. Let's go to parties. Let's keep our friend group. So being the first ones to have kids in our friend group, it did present a challenge of, oh, they're just not at the same point in life as us. And so mm-hmm. a lot of things were going over their heads and yeah. they didn't always understand, even though they tried to. Everyone has been so helpful. We love our friends, but it's just not the same.
They're at a different place in their lives.
Yeah. And they wouldn't get the exhaustion and like the pumping and the breastfeeding and the things I wanted to talk about. But Alex and I just kind of, you know, we kept that to ourselves and I would find my mom community and that was that. But then we'd make sure to kind of go in shifts and I'd be like, you have a night with your friends and then I'm going to have a night with mine and then we're going to hire a babysitter and go out together. We've continued to date each other. We've made that a priority. And also, I didn't stop the podcast. I didn't stop singing in my band. I didn't stop, you know, teaching. I didn't stop all of my hobbies. I have so many random hobbies that don't match up at all.
I love it.
It's like horror and it's horror movies over here and then teaching kids music and singing Wheels on the Bus over here, but it all comes together.
And then there's so much Disney in your house as well.
And then so much Disney and then singing in a punk rock band. Like none of it makes sense, but I didn't drop any of it because it brings me joy.
But
and
that's
I didn't want to lose me. Yes. It's like I fought for my identity.
You're like the cool young mom with the green hair in the punk rock band. And that's like that's like the you identity of mom.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like that is me as a mom instead of just being this all consuming, oh, I am just mother now. I am mother. It's like, no, I am Lauren, who is a mom. That's one of my things. I have
guy
next to me, but I'm still me.
Yeah, I'm sure, though, that especially in the beginning, I know that just when I've taken care of kids when they're younger, because they don't do a whole lot, it can be very isolating.
Yes.
I'm wondering if, you know, especially in the beginning when you were taking care of Wilder, when you have to be with him all the time, mm-hmm. I'm sure it must have been a little bit different for you.
It felt
then
so
to
lonely.
Feel like yourself.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And because someone literally still needs you all the time, mm-hmm. even after you've just been growing them for 9 months.
Totally. It was like I already had felt so out of my body and, you know, went through this whole experience with pregnancy and then having a child who it's like, oh, I am just your milk machine now. I am just providing you your food. You need me at all times. If I'm not feeding you from my breast, I'm feeding you with a bottle that I had to pump into. And when you're hooked up to the pump, you feel like a cow. It's all the things. It's like those first few months feel insane because you're just am just milk and loneliness.
And I'm sure like I know for me when I'm in a certain place in my life, it's very hard for me to grasp that things are going to change. And I think especially with a kid, I can imagine, not speaking from experience, you don't know who this child is going to be. You don't know how your life is going to change.
Exactly.
You don't know, you know, so there's this unknown in front of it as well. And you're also, I think, dealing with a lot of isolation and being alone. And I know that, you know, another question that I had messaged you was just like if there were any sort of feelings of postpartum depression or anxiety or other issues that either you went through or things that you just kind of noticed within yourself that were different. Anything like that that you wanted to discuss?
Yeah. Well, I feel fortunate. I didn't go through postpartum depression. And as much as I had what everybody calls the baby blues, quote unquote, I definitely had that. And your hormones are crazy. And I, of course, had my nights where I'm, you know, bawling my eyes out. I'm feeling alone. I'm feeling tired, feeling frustrated. But as I have had friends and family members who actually had postpartum depression, I know that I didn't experience that because it is so, so dark. And it's important that
it's so scary.
Women seek help when that happens. Yes, because horrible things have happened or, you know, have gotten close to happening. And it is, it's so important that you're, you know, you're being honest with your family members and your doctor and trying to seek help.
And with yourself, too. I think it's so easy for anyone with mental health issues, but especially being a mom and having the expectation of being perfect.
Right.
I think like thinking negatively about your child is such a shameful thing.
Of course. You don't even want to admit it, but it's like you need to because there is something happening in your brain. Like there are chemicals that are, you know, holding you back. And I'm so thankful I didn't have depression. I definitely went through some crazy anxiety for about the first 3 months, which my, you know, my doctor even said at one point, like, oh, I mean, there is postpartum anxiety that exists too. I was like, okay, I think I have that because I feel insane. And I, it was constant worrying, not sleeping at all, thinking he wasn't breathing, thinking he was overheated, not wanting to leave him with another person. Like, I didn't trust anybody. So I definitely went through that. But what's interesting is, I mean, once I mellowed out from that, and honestly, I think I've, through therapy and, you know, talking to my doctor, have evened out mentally as I've, you know, become a mom. But what's interesting, what people don't talk about a lot, because it is more rare, I had prenatal depression when I was pregnant with Wilder. So,
well, that was going to be my other question, because I know that, like, your hormones don't start when you're, like, after you've given birth.
Right.
They start when you get pregnant. Yeah, totally. What was that experience like for you?
Pregnancy, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. Pregnancy was awful for me. I don't want to shoot down women who love it because I know it's a real thing. I feel like I used to be a little sassier about it because I was like, women who say pregnancy is magical and beautiful are just lying. But I have since found out that some women genuinely do enjoy it. And I have very close friends who are like, I really did like being pregnant. I'm like, okay, good. Like, I just had a bad time. I'm so happy for you. I was sick from the beginning and I thought it would probably just be first trimester normal sickness, but it lasted really deep into my pregnancy and like up until like 28 weeks, I would say. And so I eventually had to get on a prescription for it because I was like, I can't live and work and be this way. So I got on some medicine for it. And then finally felt like the nausea subsided and I got a little more energy. But then again, just keeping it real, I got horrific hemorrhoids because Wilder was hanging so low and putting so much pressure on my lower extremities that just they were busting out.
Oh, your poor butt.
It hurt so bad. And they were external. Like, people get hemorrhoids internally. They were like, I had the full on like bubbles on my butthole to the point where, I kid you not, I went to my OB when I was like, this was like really close to the finish line, I think 35, 36 weeks.
God.
And she was doing my like cervical checkup. She's like, okay, spread your legs, going down there, you know, another day. She's calm.
Uh-huh.
She sees my hemorrhoids and goes, oh my gosh, did these hurt? These look awful. Yes, they hurt so bad. And I just started bawling. And she was like, oh my gosh, these are like really bad hemorrhoids, honey. Like, she was shocked. She hadn't seen hemorrhoids that bad.
Could you poop?
From what?
Could you poop?
I could, but I screamed every time I pooped because it was so awful.
Oh my gosh.
I only knew of hemorrhoids being internal, but these were full external thrombosed hemorrhoids. And thrombosed means they were black because they were filled with blood.
And I totally just spiked in my microphone because I was not expecting that. And I screamed.
Yeah, I had black bubbles coming out my bum. And so literally not part of the birth plan. I wanted to go naturally giving birth. But my doctor was truly like, these are only going to get worse and you'll probably get more. Like, do you want to be induced? Because he is like heavy and low. And I was like,
what if you pushed? Would that make it worse and be painful? Was it a C-section?
Listen, yes. I was like, that's the other side. That's what I was getting to. Is first of all, I got induced, which I never wanted to do because I had heard that when it's your first baby, especially induction, can end up taking hours. And it did. It was 36 hours.
Oh, my God.
And I still wanted to try for natural. I wanted to push. I even waited a really long time to get the epidural. I was trying to be that strong woman who was like, no drugs, let's go.
My mom always told me, for as long as I can remember, don't be a hero, take the drugs, is what my mom always said to me.
I know. And honestly, that's my advice now, after the fact. Yeah, like, yeah, don't. Yeah. I don't know what I was trying to prove. I eventually caved. I got the epidural, felt amazing for a couple of hours. But then my epidural wore off. And my sister has the exact same story with her daughter. She got the epidural and it wore off after an hour, no matter how much they upped the drugs. No. She wouldn't get numb. So we think maybe there's something with our spine, because that's where you get the shot, yeah, is in your spine. And so we're like, do we just have weird backs? But I started feeling everything once again after having my little tease of relief. And it got to the point where, like, I wasn't progressing long enough. We're at 36 hours of labor,
yeah,
at this point.
Yeah, you've got to start moving, yeah.
And I was exhausted. And they were like, listen, this is not a call for an emergency C-section. Like, especially legally, when you're, you know, in a hospital, they can't say, like, get a C-section. So the doctor was, yeah, like, choice is still yours. But I'm going to go ahead and say it's going to be really traumatic on you and baby if you push. But you're still, like, more than welcome to. I will give you a second, yeah, to talk. She left the room. Alex and I looked at each other. I'm like, I have a washcloth on my head, barely keeping my eyes open. I was like, just get this baby out of me. And I, yeah, never thought I would say those words, but we went for the C-section. And then with a C-section, the good news is you're rushed into the operating room. He was out within 45 minutes. It's so, yeah, quick. We met our boy, healthy, happy, amazing baby. I finally got to sleep for a little bit.
Yeah.
And it all worked out. But man, both pregnancy and birth were not what I expected. They were not a good time for me. And it's part of the reason that we have not rushed to have a second baby, if I'm being, yeah, honest. I thought,
yeah,
we've always thought we wanted two, just because we're like, siblings are fun. We both have siblings. Let's do it.
Yeah.
But since having him, like, he's hitting three now, it's when you start to get the looks, again, from other moms, mm-hmm, like, where's the other one? I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. I have PTSD. So.
Well, as being an only child myself, I thoroughly loved being an only child.
See, one of my best friends is an only child, and she says the same. But then I have another good friend who says she always wished she had a sibling. So then there's a little bit of that shame that comes in of,
well,
like, well.
I mean, I do wish I had a sibling, but at the same time,
still turned,
like,
out
I,
as a great,
well,
adult.
But it's, right, it's not really like that. It's just like, I think it would have been fun to share a lot of those experiences, but,
sure,
something that I also knew was that I had a lot of advantages being an only child. Like, my parents didn't have to, like, I knew that I was able to skate as much as I did because my parents didn't have to also pay for soccer,
yes,
or, you know, something, yeah, yeah, else, yeah, like that. And we could go on more vacations together, or it was easier to just pick up and go.
Which, and, yeah, we have those thoughts all the time of, like, we're not, yeah, we're not rich. Like, you've been over here. We live in a 2-bedroom apartment. Like, we are,
right,
living so modestly out here in LA. And it's like, we could continue to live comfortably as a family of three. If we add another baby in, like, that is going to upset everything. And I would love to,
yeah,
be able to, like, focus on Wilder and be this family and travel and do all the things we want to do. But,
yeah,
also, yeah, it does. There's this little voice in my ear. It's not even pressure from society. It's my own of, like, well, I love my siblings and,
yeah,
I want him to have that experience. So should I just stop being selfish and do it? And that's the battle.
Yeah, I understand that. But I think that also giving ourselves time for the answer to be present is also important. I think if you feel that way now, then you shouldn't do it right now.
Right.
You know what,
no,
I mean?
Oh, it's, yeah, totally.
There's,
it's
no,
like, no,
there's no reason
if
that
we have
Wilder
a second, it'll
be
like years from now. They're
right,
just going to have an age gap, and it is what it is. And I know,
cares,
that I'm far from that. Yeah, we're going to live life with Wilder a bit longer as our only kid, and we'll figure it out later if that second kid comes along. And also, this isn't just because of my bad birth experience. This has always been on my heart. I've always wanted to adopt, and it's,
yeah,
always been a thing of having, like, if we could have a biological kid of our own, but then maybe have the second adopted. And so, I don't know, that's also on the table. Like, if we still want to add a sibling, it has always been on my heart to,
yeah,
adopt a child and give them a good home. So that is also a discussion. And it's like, there,
we're,
are
so
still
similar,
options.
I love it.
I know.
Yeah,
I feel,
I think,
like,
that's,
you,
great,
are absolutely a person who would, like, adopt a child and give them a good home,
well,
as well.
What's so funny is when I was younger, I didn't have a great experience of, like, marriage, a great example. Well, so yeah. When I was younger, I never wanted to get married. I just wanted to adopt kids and be a single mom. I have adopted cousins from Korea as well. And I really always loved, because they were still so attached to the culture of their home country. Like it brought it into our family. And that was always
so
something
cool.
That I really loved. Yeah, it was really wonderful.
Yeah, I love that.
I guess the next question that I wanted to ask, and I was almost like a little bit worried in asking this because I think that it can be seen as like accusatory or like asking too much of someone to answer this type of question. But I have talked to a lot of moms, especially with sons, where they talk about having a sense of responsibility in raising their sons and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if that's ever been anything on your mind. I know that also there's some women when they didn't know the sex of the baby that they would be worried about having a girl because they were worried about what that girl was going to go through in their lives. You know,
yeah.
what was like your thought process with all of the above?
What's so funny is I kind of hoped for a boy because I was terrified of having a girl, knowing how scary it can be as a woman right. in this world, which like is not okay to think. It's like, well, okay, then let's try and we're going to change the world and we're going to raise a strong woman. Like, of course. But that was my fear.
But you can't
fear.
Necessarily always change. Like, you can be the can't. Strongest woman in the world and be attacked. Or
of course.
Be, you know what I mean?
It's like you can't just control what's going to happen. But, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't need to be scared of having a girl. You know, if it happens, we just all do the best we can. But that was going on in the back of my mind. But then I have a son. I'm so excited. I'm like, oh, I have this cool little guy, my little sidekick. And then I start to think, oh, my gosh, what if he ends up to be one of these horrifying monsters that's walking along, which is, I know, we can giggle now because we both know Wilder and you can't even imagine him being like that,
yeah,
but
yeah.
You truly never know who
you
someone is going to
know.
Grow up to be, and sometimes, no matter how involved and wonderful the parents are, things just happen and there is a chemical imbalance and someone maybe doesn't get the mental health treatment they need.
Wilder does love watching cars drive off of cliffs.
He
I think.
Likes watching car crashes, and that does worry me. I've told Alex before, actually, like,
no.
He likes fiery car crashes.
No,
like, we need to keep an eye on that.
So it's funny to joke about, but I mean in all seriousness, like, that's so normal because kids don't have that same, like, connection to pain,
of
like
course,
when
yeah.
it's on the TV as they would with, like, or they don't even feel like, if you were to stub your toe, he's not going to have that same sense of empathy now as he will later in life.
I was going to say, sometimes so I get, like, hurt and I get mad that he doesn't have more of a reaction. Sometimes he'll say, like, oh, you okay, mama? But then he basically just turns around, eats his snack, and forgets about it. I'm like, come
on.
I used to
get really critical of kids when they wouldn't yawn after I did because I thought they were sociopaths.
Yes. Oh, you're a sociopath. You're supposed to pick up on that. Come on.
Exactly.
I
but
know.
Empathy is learned. Like, I think that people think that that's something that you just have. Like, no, it's learned behavior. So kids technically don't have that, like, understanding that what they're watching could be a real thing that happens
when
people get hurt. But I had to bring that up only because
no,
we're
it's
talking
hilarious.
About how sweet and wonderful he is, and then he watches these.
And then, like, he's watching violent car crashes, and I'm like, you okay, bro? Yeah. So
he's just sucked into it. It's so funny.
Yeah, then he zones out. He's a total zombie watching it. He's obsessed. I mean, obsessed with cars in general. Like, that is
yeah.
just his thing. But
well, he's a race car.
Yeah. He zooms around. He zooms around like a little race car on a racetrack. But I have hope that he's going to be a wonderful man. You know, again, like, we, Alex and I, have the same beliefs and how we want to raise him and always be somebody who, you know, has compassion for others and fights for people who can't fight for themselves. But it's, of course, that fear is in the back of my mind of, like, please, especially he's a little white man. It's like, you...
Yeah.
You have every opportunity to be, like, the monster that we all see in America, like,
right.
the frat boy white man that, like, we're all scared of. I have that in the back of my mind all of the time, and I really
right.
hope that we're raising him to be a wonderful man. I hope that it all comes true. He seems lovely at this point at 3 years old, but it does feel like a lot of pressure.
Both of you, I always feel like I love when I can be in the home of, I mean, obviously you're my friends as well, but I do, like, you know, I'm in there taking care of your kids. It feels nice to me to be able to be who I am in your house and know both of you share that same kind of thing. Because as someone who helps take care of someone else's kid, sometimes there's an expectation, like, I am currently taking care of someone whose father has, like, Sean Hannity books in their bathroom.
Oh, I remember you sending me a photo, and I was like, Madigan, do you need to run?
And so I get this sense of, like, I'm not going to negate who I am, but I'm also not going to be preaching from the mountaintops in front of these people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I like that, you know, just in getting to know you and Alex, how vocal both of you are about the things that you believe in. And I think that as long as that's something that you continue to do and you show Wilder that, much like you were talking about with your own mother, there's no way he's not going to at least be affected by that in some way, shape, or form. And that's the best thing that you can do. Well, and I think that there's a lot of people that feel very strongly about certain things but don't talk about it and explain it to kids, especially because they think they're not going to get it.
Right. Yeah, oh, but they won't understand. I'm not going to say this. Like, no, start setting the example young. They're going to absorb it. Like,
well, you might as well. You're showing kids movies with morals. You're reading stories with morals. All these things, even if they're not fully understanding everything you're saying, they're learning that language really young.
I was going to say, like, there's no problem with, even if they aren't fully understanding at, you know, this age of 3, like, showing them the pictures, still saying the words over and over so that it's sticking somewhere in their brain, and this is going to become routine and habit, and they're going to get to an age where it's talked about, you know, actually in school. And they'll say, oh, yeah, my mom was talking about this. I want to take this side. I want to believe this. And we try to, you know, get books that show diversity. And, you know, that we have a couple of, like, more feminist books. Because, like, hey, I had a boy, but I'm gonna show him how to be a feminist. And all of that.
Well, yeah,
it's like,
because boys should be feminists. Like, I'm with a feminist guy. You seem like you're with a feminist guy.
1,000%.
Yeah, there's no reason that we should only be teaching young women these things. And I think that also, you know, there's the things that we would be teaching our young girls in ways to prepare themselves are the same things we should be teaching our young boys in order to realize that, like, some other guys, like, might not be as great as you, and you've got to be strong enough to maybe say something or
to speak up and to step in and not just stand back and say, oh, this isn't my fight, I better let him do that. It's like, no, step up when you see something.
We're not always going to do it, but it's good to at least set that example and things like that. I think we've pretty much talked about everything that I wanted to cover, except for my very last question, which I told Lauren I added like an hour before we recorded because I was thinking about your show. So I wanted to tie it all together, and I wanted to know, what's the weirdest thing about being a mom?
The weirdest?
Yeah. Like, when you just think of being, you're like, that's fucking weird. Why, you know, anything like that?
I mean, so many things. I feel like the fact that I, like, if Alex does anything that involves, like, boogers or picking his butt or, like, smelling weird or, like, having any kind of bodily fluids come out, I'm going to give him a hard time about it. Even if I'm not, like, fully disgusted, I understand he's a human, I'm still going to be like, ew, like, enough. But with Wilder...
Wait, you just said...
With Wilder, I'm like, I will pick his boogers. I've picked boogers out of his nose and put them in my pocket because I didn't have anywhere else to put them. And, like, that was totally fine to me and normal.
Or caught throw up in your hands.
I've caught barf in my hands. It's gone on my lap, on my hands, and on my chest. I have gotten spit up put into my mouth and, like, that. I mean, it didn't, like, feel great, but I was like, all right, we're going to carry on. I've, like, carried a bag with his poopy underwear around with me in my purse for far too long. Like, I've sucked snot out of his nose with the little nose Frida thing. It just, like, the thing,
nose Frida is always going to be weird to me.
Yes. And the fact that I walk around, even, like, I know it's, like, all tying back to bathroom, but that just, like, is kind of one of the weirdest things that you just do when you don't even think about it anymore. I follow him around pulling his pants away from his butt and sniffing him so many times per day to be like, you good? Did you pee your pants? Did you poop your pants? Because we're potty training. And, like, the fact that I'm just sticking my face in a young man's bum gum all day is really interesting.
But he's got a really cute butt.
Oh, it's just the cutest.
Baby butts. I'm so weird. I'm like, can I change your baby just so I can see their butt?
It's the cute. I love a little baby tush. Like, it's just so adorable. That's actually been as tough as potty training has been. I've loved that he doesn't wear a diaper anymore because you get to see the little tush and the undies and like the little tight sweatpants. He's so cute. But motherhood is weird. You start doing gross things. You start caring for this child in a way that you never thought possible. It's tough. It's gross, but it's magical. It's a blast. It makes you feel incredibly strong as a woman, I would also say. I know I'm just like going on a tangent now, but I think it's important to know. Like, as much as, you know, the depression comes, the insecurity about your physical appearance after you have a child, like there are very hard moments that come and you sometimes don't recognize yourself in the mirror. But I think every woman down deep feels this new strength and this new kind of like fierce persona coming out of just like I could pick made up a car life. Now. Yes. I was pregnant. I carried this child. I was in pain. I pushed them out of me. Like, I am woman. Hear me roar. I just created life within my body. I gave birth to this human. You just feel like next level, which as much as hardships have come with it, I love that feeling that I feel very strong and very confident in who I am as a woman after having a kid. And just remember that you can keep your identity and you don't have to lose who you are after you create this very special human. So if you're thinking about having kids, if it's on your heart, go for it. But also, if you don't want kids, cool. You can come hang out with me and Wilder anytime and say, exactly. So glad I get to hand him back to you at the end of the night. And that's great.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I mean, this was so fun for me to have this discussion because I feel like I'm almost becoming an anomaly, at least with my friends. Like, a lot of my friends don't want kids. Mm-hmm. And I see a baby and my heart melts immediately. So it was very fun for me to talk to you about all of this. And I cannot like talk more positively about Wilder. He is my favorite child on the planet. I'm so obsessed with
him. You love him so well, and we're so grateful for you. It's like hilarious to me that you're not a mom because you're just so, and you're so wonderful with children. You have such a heart for it, and like Wilder likes her more than us, and it's fine. Like, we're good with it. Like, we know he loves us and like will come to us for his like main essentials, but like Maddie Cat, as he calls her, she's not Madigan.
I was just thinking, I'm like, wait, we haven't even said what he calls me yet. I'm
Maddie Cat, and he asks about her once a day. He's like, is she coming over? Like, what are you fools doing? Invite her over. So he loves you. You're the best. Thanks for having me.
Well, I mean, I love him so much. I love you. I'm so glad that he has kind of brought us into friendship.
I know. It brought us much closer. Yeah.
It did. And thank you so much for being here and for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge and your expertise.
I feel like I blabbered on. I apologize for my rambles, but I hope everybody got a little bit of a little piece of motherhood.
I got so many good things out of that. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I hope that everybody has a wonderful Mother's Day in whatever way that looks for them, whether it be a birth mother or a mother figure in your life. You know, be appreciative for them and everything that they do for you. I'm so glad that both of us have our moms being as wonderful as they are. We're very, very lucky. Alrighty, so I'm going to give our final little spiel right now of where they can find us. But before I do that, I wanted to ask you, Miss Lauren, where can we find your podcast? Where can we find you? Help the listeners know where they can stalk you a little bit.
Please follow Keep It Weird Podcast at Keep It Weird Cast. On pretty much every form of social media. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook at Keep It Weird Cast. We post a lot of shenanigans on our Instagram. You can also join a little private Facebook group if you want to see a lot of funny horror movie memes, all kinds of silly stuff over there. Our podcast exists everywhere you get your podcasts, like every Spotify, Apple Podcasts, like
Google Play.
I know.
And there's so
whenever
many
we're
them
listing
now.
Them, we're like, we appear places we don't know we appear. So just
we get emails sometimes where they're like, you're now on this platform.
Exactly.
And
we're like, cool. Thanks. Didn't know that was a thing. Yeah. So you can Google us. You can find us anywhere. Keep It Weird Podcast. And we would love for you to become a weirdo with us.
Oh, it's the best. It's a good time to be a weirdo. I would definitely recommend it.
Yes.
All right. Well, for us, if you have any episodes, suggestions, or topics that you want for us to cover, you can email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or DM us on our Instagram at @angryneighborhoodfeminist and follow us there. You can also visit the link in our bio on our Instagram or in the show notes to check out our merch. We have a Facebook business and group page. You can rate and review us on the business page and chat with the other listeners on the group page. And I think last but not least, if you haven't done so already, please hop on over to that Apple Podcast app and leave us a 5-star review with a quick sentence about why you love us, and we will be eternally grateful. And if you enjoyed this episode, please show lots of love to our social media posts and to Lauren and Keep It Weird. We love to hear everything that you have to say. If we get anything involving Lauren, I'm going to be showing you all the screenshots. I'm sure you're going to be getting lots of love from our listeners. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm so appreciative.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so obsessed with your podcast and all of your listeners who are just so much smarter and wiser than me. I love seeing all the content you guys put out in the commentary. Yes.
They are much smarter than I as well.
Yeah, than I am. Let's use the proper grammar too. Yes.
I didn't even realize I did that. My God, I'm such a bitch.
You're the worst. No, you were right.
All right, that's all we have for you today. With all that being said, we encourage you to rage on.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.